You know, there are weird things that happen around us, and I don't know when they began or if they've been around forever or we're just noticing it more or whatever. I mean, think about this. In sports celebrations, when did it become the right thing to do to burn cars and furniture and whatever else? When did that become a form of celebration? Don't know. Maybe somebody should study that. And then there are these block parties. You know, we used to have little block parties that kind of spur of the moment when I was growing up in Monroe, Michigan, and it was just a little block party. Some of the folks did some baked goods or a dish to pass or whatever, and that was that. Unfortunately, now block parties have devolved into something far worse. Not always, but sometimes. And sometimes we end up with the violence like we just did with the weekend shooting that killed two and injured 19 at a block party on Detroit's east side. Now, people are throwing up their hands saying, what do we do? Pastor Barry Randolph from the Church of the Messiah on Detroit's east side, also the law enforcement chaplain, has some ideas on how to deal with this. Pastor, welcome to Focus with Paul W. Smith.
Good afternoon, Paul. How are you?
I am excellent, and I hope that you're well, staying dry somewhere.
Absolutely. We got enough rain to last us a lifetime. So,
We do. We do. We're going to have to talk to the waterworks up above in the sky, but today's not the day. Tell me, you served as a chaplain to law enforcement. You've gone into the police briefings on the block party shootings. I first want to know, what in the world is going on, Pastor? You had block parties when you were a kid. They happened. Why are these block parties like tinderboxes, some of them?
Well, this is the first that I've ever heard of something like this happening at a block party. I was so surprised to get the word to hear that, you know, 21 people had been shot. I grew up having block parties. We had them. It was just the people on the block. And this was something that was a little bit different. This was something that was totally different that I don't think anybody expected.
Well, it is a problem. It has happened a few other times, which is, I guess, why they have laws now regulating these block parties. And you, in fact, even have to get approval and a license to have the block party.
Yeah, I remember block parties. I remember being at block parties where you would get the permit. You would have the block party from a certain time to another time. And then after that block party was over, you know, it was business as usual. And it was usually just the neighbors in that block party. It was just the block party,
right.
The people from the community only. So people coming from all over, it is just tragic that we lost two people, that two people died and that 19 people were shot and injured. I'm still reeling for that because that is just such a sobering number that says we've got to do something. We've got to be able to have events and have them safely.
We do. And Pastor, we've got Pastor Barry Randolph from the Church of the Messiah on Detroit's east side, also a law enforcement chaplain. I just am wondering why there is so much anger out there that can lead to something that goes beyond a disagreement among people and becomes an all-out war with guns.
Yeah, I've been wrestling with that question back and forth. I just constantly think about there's 330 million Americans in this country, and we have 400 million guns, which means there are more guns than people. We believe, of course, people have the right to bear arms and to protect themselves. But when it turns into something where people are actually taking guns and committing murder, we actually have a bigger problem than that. And it's all about access to guns and firearms. And we need to be having conversations, and we need to be working on this issue. We're going to have to do something. We have to do something. There's too many guns. And also, too, The leading cause of death of children in this country is firearms. This is a unique American problem. It's not all over the world. It is in the United States of America. There was a time when the leading cause of death was sickness or car accidents. Now it's firearms. It's something that can be preventable. We just have a lot of work to do with making that happen.
It's, first of all, of course, 400 million guns. It would be impossible to get rid of all of them. It will never happen. Yes. And we do have the right to bear arms, but we do have to do that responsibly. And maybe, I guess we earn that right by being Americans. But I'm a big believer in if you're going to have firearms, you should have firearms training. All of that aside, yes. 400 million guns, 330 million people. We've had more guns than people for a very long time, a very yes. long time. Yes. But we just started killing a bunch of people in the last few years, it seems. Look, too many guns in Switzerland, at least it was, and I think still is, the law that every household in Switzerland had to have a rifle. And,
wow.
And we don't wow. hear about them shooting each other all the time.
Yes. Yes. This is a unique American problem. And there's so many different things that we have to do this. As a preacher and as a Christian, I believe a virgin had a baby. So I believe that all things are possible with God. And I believe that we literally, if we choose and make up our minds, we could do this. Community also plays a role in being able to work towards keeping our neighborhoods and our households safe. We have to have conversations. We have to work together. We're going to be talking about something here at the church at 12 o'clock on Monday.
Monday, July 15th, you're opening the doors of the Church of the Messiah on East Grand Boulevard at noon for everyone grieving and everyone who wants to get together as a group and talk about it.
Yes, and we're going to talk about it. And we're going to talk about something called Code 22, which is a day of peace and healing that was created by Pastor Vela that takes place every 22nd of the month. That's been in operation for about 10 years. We're going to talk about that. Then we're going to talk about something that we're going to launch called the Orange Mile. Orange is the color of gun violence, and it means don't shoot. For hunters, that's one of the reasons why they wear orange. It means don't shoot. We're going to create something called the Orange Mile. The Orange Mile is just taking 1 square mile of a redemptive turf of a community organization or a church, and for us, it's the church, where the church is the center. We work within 1 square mile of the church. We bring together the block clubs. We bring together the political leaders. We bring together the law enforcement. We bring together the 501c3s. And we hold each other accountable for that 1 square mile. We have to put our neighbor back into the hood.
I think
that's
great.
We have to get to know each other.
And I like
to
that.
Be able to yet hold each other accountable. And this is one of the ways that we've done it in our community and neighborhood. We hold a once a month meeting with our political leaders, with our law enforcement, with our schools, and we find out and know what's going on in our neighborhoods. And we believe that this can cut down on some of these things of incidences where you get an infiltration of people who may not be from your community or neighborhood, to where we can at least begin to work within 1 square mile. And that's one of the things we're going to be talking about.
Good points. I'm glad you finally got those in there, Pastor. We went a little long, but Pastor Barry Randolph from the Church of the Messiah, Detroit's East Side, also law enforcement chaplain. Bless you. Let us know if there's any ways we can help along the way, Pastor.
Thank you so much.
We continue now, 12:44. Roop Raj is coming up on WJR. How's your back? How's your aching back? Well, it should be getting better if you started doing what we've been talking about, but it's got to go beyond the talking stage. As I did my mea culpa, I kept saying, go do this, and I kept putting it off for myself, and I paid the price. This is do as I say, not always as I do, but please put yourself first on your life list. And the first thing you want to do is get out of pain. And you've heard me talk about Dr. Saul Kogan at the DISC Institute and how they've helped not only now me, because I've gone 4 more times, but certainly Kim. She's gone many more times and has had much more relief. And I'm on my path. with thousands of other patients. I've met many of them. They're so nice, just like the team there for Dr. Kogan, so nice. You know, not so different from yourself, suffering daily from chronic back, neck, and knee pain, so much so that you have considered surgery. Well, the Disc Institute offers a different path. Dr. Kogan and his team specialize in helping patients who see surgery as their last resort. Using an advanced approach to treating the root cause of the pain rather than masking the symptoms, their unique non-invasive treatment programs activate your body's built-in mechanisms for self-repair, so you heal naturally for results that last. You should get back to doing whatever you thought maybe you would never be able to do again. Now you should be able to get back to it pain-free. Think about that. That's worth putting yourself first. All of this is made possible by Dr. Kogan at the Disc Institute, making incredible changes in patients' lives. Do not resign yourself to surgery or a life of pain without exploring all your options. I am so happy I finally went to see Dr. Kogan and his people again and again and again and again at the Disc Institute. It matters. It works. Do yourself a favor. Call 586-416-3472, 586-416-3472, or visit NerveDiscInstitute.com. Relief is possible. 1246 WJR.